had a good time. Chaitanya Charitamrita has 14 seed verses that are described right in the beginning of the first chapter. And these are, well, they're that. They're the seed. They're what then later becomes described as the philosophical basis for the book itself. And most of that philosophy is described in the Arilila. Arilila is just that. It talks about the tattva, or the underlying philosophical principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Understanding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an easy thing. And we're talking about Lord Chaitanya because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually, although we know that he's Krishna, but Radha Bhavajyoti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. He's Krishna, but he has the complexion and the sentiment or the personality of Srimati Radharani. And of course that's a difficult concept, but in one sense not so unusual. For instance, if you take the example of an actor has an identity, but when he goes on stage, he leaves his own identity behind and he's playing the role of someone else. He takes on that identity. Some actor is playing Hamlet. So when he's on stage, he can't be thinking about his problems at home or his other relationships that he has and issues. He becomes completely absorbed in that. And so much so that if he's a good actor, he forgets that he's acting. As long as he's acting, he's not a good actor. When he stops acting and he becomes that person, then he's good. He's not an actor anymore, he's that person. And so it is with Krishna, is that when Krishna appears in the world as himself, Bhagavan Swayam, then he actually identifies himself with Srimati Radharani. He forgets that he's Krishna. So when people call him Krishna, then he doesn't even know what they're talking about. Of course, because he's God, so there's a difference between him and the actor, in that simultaneously he doesn't know that he's Krishna, and he also knows that he's Krishna. So he's completely forgetful of himself, but obviously he can't be forgetful of anything because he's God. So he's also fully in knowledge of himself, and those things are going on at the same time. And how that takes place, that's achintya. Achintya beda abhed. So he's simultaneously Krishna, and he's also, he's not Radharani, he's in the mood of Radharani, but it's said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radharani because when you take on the personality of Radharani, your external form is a detail. It's like a ghost. You know, if a ghost inhabits someone's body, the body is a detail. The identity of the person is that ghost who's there. What he looks like is secondary. But still, in order to make us understand that he's Srimati Radharani, still Krishna Varnam Tisa Krishna, he has this Akrishna, he has this golden complexion. And so we'll read a little about that, because Krishna's appearance, and this is more is what we're going to read about, is Krishna's appearance rather than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, is very intricately linked with Srimati Radharani's appearance. And we'll talk a little more about that maybe this evening. But when we're talking about Radharani's appearance, first we should know who Srimati Radharani is. And she's more than just a gopi. Okay, so here Kaviraj Goswami says, I have described the meaning of the fourth verse, and I don't know if you have a book there, but probably help. Now, O devotees, kindly hear the explanation of the fifth verse. So now he's describing the fifth verse. And the fifth verse says, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Aladini Shakti Rasmat E Katmana Papi Bhuvi Pura Deho Gatam Gatoto Chaitanya Kya Praktam Dunatatabaitam Chaitamatam Radha Bhava Duty Suvalita Nomi Krishna Swarupam. We'll explain that. He says, just to explain the original verse, I first suggest its meaning. He says, I've given the essential meaning of the fourth verse. So, what was the essential meaning of the fourth verse? This incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, descends to propagate the chanting of the holy name and spread love of God. So that was the previous verse, which was the previous verse. So, why does Lord Chaitanya appear? Well, everyone knows Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared to propagate, to chanting Hare Krishna, and to spread love of God. Okay. Although this is true, he continues, This is but the external reason for the Lord's incarnation. So Nam Sankirtan, and to distribute the love of God, is the external reason for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Please hear one other reason, the confidential reason for the Lord's appearance. Prabhupada says that the Lord Chaitanya appeared to distribute the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He says, but this is the secondary appearance. Prabhupada uses this word, secondary. And he says, the real reason is different, as we shall see in this chapter. And this real reason is not something that necessarily we're always very aware of, or we discuss very much. And it's important, because otherwise the chanting of Hare Krishna does not necessarily give the necessary result. Other incarnations also give the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Let's see. The scriptures proclaim that Lord Krishna previously descended to take away the burden of the earth. To take away this burden, however, is not the work of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The maintainer, Lord Vishnu, is the one who protects the universe. So when Krishna says, paritanaya sadunam vinasha chaduskritam, this is not really Krishna's business. This is the business of Krishna's incarnations. This is Lord Vishnu who does these things. He says, but the time to lift the burden of the world mixed with the time for Lord Krishna's incarnation. So Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma. But sambhavami juge juge. In every millennium, Krishna's incarnations appear. However, at this time, Krishna's incarnation, Krishna's appearance, and obviously to lift the burden of the world, they coincided. So that means Krishna was the one who was going to be doing that, although he doesn't usually do it. When the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead descends, all other incarnations of the Lord meet together within him. Lord Narayan, the four primary expansions, Vasudeva, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, and Adiruddha, Matsya, and other Leela incarnations, the Yuga avatars, the Manvantar incarnations, and as many incarnations as there are, all descend in the body of Krishna. In this way, the complete Supreme Godhead, Lord Krishna himself, appears. So when Krishna comes, because Krishna is avatari, he's the source of all incarnations and avatars, all other avatars are present within him. So everyone is present. At that time, therefore, Lord Vishnu is present in the body of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna kills the demons through him. Krishna doesn't kill demons. The Vishnu kills the demons. But Vishnu, taking the form of Krishna, is Mishna Chinat. Vishnu, taking the form of Krishna, he kills the demons, or it appears that Krishna is killing the demons, but Krishna has other things to do. And that's already stated in Shastra, Natasya Karya. I don't do any work. I don't have anything to do. Natasya Karyam Karanam Cha Vidyate. Subhavaki Cha Gyana Bala Kriya Cha. These things are all going on in a different way. So Krishna, is that news? Krishna is not killing demons? But that's what it says here. It says, Lord Krishna kills the demons in the body of Lord Krishna. The Lord Krishna kills the demons through him. Through Vishnu, Lord Krishna kills the demons. Thus, the killing of demons is but secondary work. I shall now speak of the main reason for the Lord's incarnation. So, Lord's appearing for a different reason. So to kill demons, I mean, elsewhere it's stated that material energy can kill demons. Ultimately, they die one way or another. So you don't need Krishna for that. Maya can kill the demons. But for Leela, then we see the different forms of the Lord, Nrisinga, Varaha, and so on, Matsya, Kurma, they come and they perform these different type of pastimes. But Krishna is not needed for them. Now Krishna's business, Natasya Karyam, Krishna is always enjoying, playing, dancing. Killing demons is work. Although Krishna also enjoys that work, but he doesn't do that directly. He does that activity through Vishnu. So the Lord's desire to appear was born for two reasons. Krishna appears in the world for two reasons. The Lord wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God, and he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous affection. Thus he is known as supremely jubilant and the most merciful of all. So Krishna wanted to come into the material world to enjoy the specific tastes of loving exchange with his devotees that are unique to the material world, like taking birth. Krishna doesn't take birth in the spiritual world. There's no Janmashtami there. There's no Radhashtami. There's a celebration, but it never happened. It's always, they're eternally present. But in the material world, it happens. So this pastime and other pastimes, and to enjoy the unique feature of his pastimes to the backdrop of the material world, which is different than the backdrop of the spiritual world. For instance, you know, in a spiritual world, everything is spiritual. So spiritual pastimes in the backdrop of the spiritual world, they have one type of context. But spiritual pastimes to the backdrop of the material world, they appear more spiritual. So it's just like if you take a diamond necklace, then give it to me, if you have one. But if you take a diamond necklace and you put it on the white cloth, what does it look like? Or you put it on a cloth which is embroidered with diamonds. It looks nice. But what happens when you put it on a black cloth? Then it shows much nicer. So similarly, you take Krishna's pastimes on the background of the spiritual world, it's very nice, but the contrast is much greater in the material world. So it looks nicer here. That's why Krishna comes to the material world. Otherwise he wouldn't come. He can come in different incarnations, and he comes for another reason. So one is he comes to taste these pastimes, and the other is he comes to make these known. Because you can't know about Krishna's pastimes through Lord Nrisingadev, through Varaha, through Matsya. They don't display these pastimes, they don't make them known. They display the rasa, the relationships and the truths that take place in Vaikuntha on their own specific planet. But that's another thing than Krishna consciousness. So this word Krishna consciousness movement has very specific leading. So two reasons. He wanted to taste the essence of the mellows of love of God, and he wanted to distribute it. And then Prabhupada explains, and I'm just continuing. Now Krishna's thinking. He's in the spiritual world, and Krishna's thinking. All the universe is filled with a conception of my majesty. But love, weakened by that sense of majesty, does not satisfy me. In other words, everyone worships Krishna, Lord Vishnu, Narayan, different forms of Narayan, different incarnations as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's pleasing to Krishna, but it doesn't satisfy him. In other words, he's not fully satisfied. He'll explain why. If one regards me as the Supreme Lord and himself is subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. In other words, although people may worship Krishna, but this concept of awe and reverence keeps Krishna at a distance. And from the point of view of his being God, that's fine. But from the point of view of his being a person, it's not. Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when you just worship Krishna as supreme, then all this, all the worship and the opulence that's found in terms of the worship of Krishna's form in different incarnations, then that's perfect. But personality, as far as his personality is concerned, Krishna wants more. Just like Prime Minister of Romania, although he's in trouble, right? Anyway, Prime Minister of Romania, he gets so much respect, or at least he's supposed to get respect. He doesn't want that respect when he goes home. What kind of relationship? That's not what being a husband or a father is about. So he wants a different types of relationship. So that's fine in your workplace, but it's not what a person wants. It's what you want from your work, but it's not what you want as a person. Why? Because it's a distant relationship. It cannot do two things. It can't make you subservient, and it can't control you. But as long as you're God, Krishna is God, he's the Supreme, everyone is subordinate and everyone is worshiping him, it doesn't make him subservient and it doesn't control him. So, in whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. That's my natural behavior. And Bhagavad Gita, in whatever way my devotee surrenders to me, I award them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. Krishna continues. If one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great, and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. So Krishna, as God, is satisfied by the offerings of pure love, pure devotion to him as the Supreme Lord, like you have universal form over there and Arjuna praying. But as a person, he wants to be dealt with in a different way. He wants to be seen as an equal. He wants to be seen as a subordinate. Now that's not an artificial thing. It's not that, okay, I'll see Krishna as my equal. You have to have the vision to see Krishna as equal, and that requires love. But it requires a different type of love than the love that you have for Krishna as God. First, you have to love Krishna as God. That we don't yet have. Once you love Krishna as God, then from there, actually, spiritual life progresses, or you could say it begins. at least it begins to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Love for the Supreme goes up till there. It's called Shantaras. And that is called Prema. We usually call love of God. But Prema is a very general terminology. When Prema matures, it becomes Prema, Sneha, Rag, Bhav, Anurag, Pranaya, Bhava, Mahabhava, and Mahabhava has also different divisions. So that then becomes the development of prema, or the development of love. So it's not that you think yourself equal to Krishna. When you realize that you're Krishna's servant, and you're eternally Krishna's servant, and you love Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then under the right association, by the proper direction, then one can actually come to understand, come to cultivate a higher level of love. And this is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is appearing. And we'll get to, this is what Srimati Radharani's position is. So, another quote from Bhagavatam, Mai Bhakti Bhutanam. Devotional service rendered to me by living beings revives their eternal life. O my dear damsels of Braj, Krishna is saying this to the gopis, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you have obtained my favor. Here Krishna is speaking to the gopis at Kurukshetra. So what is the nature of this love? What type of activities does it invoke? And what is it that pleases Krishna from this? Krishna says, or he's thinking like this, mother sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. My friends climb on my shoulder in pure friendship, saying, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. So Krishna's discussing Vatsalya Bhav, Madhurya Bhav, and also Sakya Bhav. He's not mentioning Dasya, and there's also the pure Das. Pure Das means when there's two types of Dasya. One is when you know that Krishna is God, and the other one is when you don't know. In the spiritual world, Krishna has servants, but they don't know that he's God. So, once again, we have to keep in mind that there's a progression. The progression of the purification of heart is to recognize that we're Krishna's eternal servant. We perfect the regulated principles of devotional service, chanting, hearing. We learn how to chant offenselessly. We learn how to chant purely. We come to pure devotional service and attain ecstasy and prema. And from there, following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see that this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is appearing to teach us. Then we learn that type of devotional service, which is only really available in Goloka Vrindavan. And of course, in Romanian, you don't have that. But this is what Brihad Bhagavatamrita is all about. So Sanatana Goswami wrote Brihad Bhagavatamrita under Lord Chaitanya's instruction. And Brihad Bhagavatamrita has two parts. And the two parts answer two questions. Who are the topmost devotees? And what is the topmost abode? So he points out that the topmost devotees are the Brijvasis, and amongst them Srimati Radharani, and the topmost abode is Goloka Vrindavan. And this is the destination. These are the understandings that are meant to be acquired by devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement. So now Krishna is saying, taking these pure devotees with me, those pure devotees in the spiritual world, I shall descend and sport in various wonderful ways unknown even in Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I am amazed. Those Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world, in Goloka, don't take place in Vaikuntha. In fact, they don't even know of them because they're absorbed in another type of perfection. It's not that there's any kind of shortage there, that is perfect, but rather it's an issue of different types of perfection and different levels of perfection. So what Krishna displays here in the material world are the same pastimes that take place in Goloka Vrindavan. The influence of Yoga Maya will inspire the gopis with the sentiments that I am their paramour. Neither the gopis nor I shall notice this, for our minds will always be entranced by one another's beauty and qualities. Pure attachment will unite us, even at the expense of moral and religious duties. Destiny will sometimes bring us together and sometimes separate us. I shall taste the essence of these rasas, and in this way I shall favor all the devotees. Then, by hearing about the pure love of the residents of Braj, devotees will worship me on the path of spontaneous love, abandoning all rituals of religiosity and fruitive activities. We're just going to round off here because it's time and we'll continue in the evening. So here, Krishna is explaining why he's appearing in the material world. He says he's appearing in order to relish the pastimes of the spiritual world as they take place in the material world, and he's appearing here so that when we hear about these pastimes, and we hear about them in Srimad Bhagavatam, that's what Srimad Bhagavatam is for. Especially the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why the 10th canto is half of the entire Bhagavatam. He says, when we hear about these pastimes, then we will become inspired to worship Krishna in the way of the Brijbasis. And we'll be inspired to go back home, back to Godhead, which only means going to one place. That means going to Goloka Vrindavan. So this is a special feature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's avatar and incarnation. And to understand this is something that devotees have to cultivate according to the teachings that Lord Narayan himself says. He says, etava diva jignasa tattva jignasa. He says, you should inquire into Krishna consciousness up until this. This is the level or the topmost level of spiritual understanding. And this is why Krishna has appeared. So when he says, paritanaya sadunam vinasa chaduskitam dharma samstapanartaya, Krishna personally appears to establish this dharma. He says, on the path of spontaneous love. So there are two different types of devotional service. There's devotional, regulated devotional service, and there's spontaneous devotional service. So spontaneous devotional service, although it's also generally understood to be a part of sadhana bhakti, but generally it's practiced after one has actually perfected regulated devotional service. So when you become a pure devotee. But the idea that is being emphasized here is that one should not stop there. Neither should one necessarily direct one's attention to Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, to other spiritual planets or other incarnations. That was not why Krishna appeared. Krishna appeared for this particular purpose, as we read here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. To hear about the pure love of the residents of Vrindavan and worship Krishna on this path of spontaneous love, giving up ritual, abandoning rituals of religiosity and fruitive activity. Okay, I will stop there. Continue reading this evening from verse 34, and we'll get to Srimati Radharani. But first, we need some introduction and some basic understanding in order to get there. Jai Srimati Radharani ki jai, Shishi Gornikai ki jai, Shishi Panchatattva ki jai, Jai Nitai Gopremanandi.
Jai.